true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Okay, welcome back to the podcast.
2 seconds, I'm sorry.
That's all right. We're still waiting for Katie to finish all of her business. She's a very, very high-powered Enneagram 8 CEO of her own organization. She's got a lot of emails to send.
They all are weirdly like time-pressured right now.
Katie is fully engaged in her three-dimensional life right now, and that is necessary because she has to continue living.
She has to exist on this plane with us, whether she likes it or not.
All right. Welcome back.
Hello.
To part two with a little bit of lube.
A little bit of lube. There's a lot going on. And now I have to pee again.
I can always go.
Do you mind?
Not I got to pee again, too.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And then we'll jump into the wrecks.
Can we keep it?
What's up? Rami here. I did physical therapy today, New York style. So if it had been somewhere else, the room would have been three times as big and there would have been half as many people in it. But I mean, New Yorkers know how to share space, that's for sure. There were people everywhere and there was music, it was popping. Everyone's like just trying to find a little space to do their weird exercises in with their colorful geometric objects. And as I came near this guy, he was pretty athletic looking. They had him balanced on a half sphere and he was doing something with a ball. I heard him say to himself, "I am not a circus performer." And then I kept monster walking past him. Rami's rules.
All right. Well, I've got the other questions ready if we want to fucking dive in. Well, took a pee break, eating a banana. Now all I can think about is, did you want to name that banana with a female name?
That's sure. A Stacy.
Oh, what you got?
I'm going to actually share the message that just came in.
Okay,
because
cool.
It's not exactly right, but it is interesting.
Okay,
it's
cool.
From the person that we answered their question about an hour ago.
Yep.
In terms of our calendar right now, yes. 2-3 weeks ago, if you're listening to this right now. But she says, well, I can tell you took my question between 11:30 and 11:40, I'd guess anyway. We didn't, but you know, might have. Time is funny. Had to sit my ass down and yawn and bring light to my brainstem, shoulders.
Oh.
Still processing through, but I'm going to guess that that's what happened.
Great.
Wasn't at that time, but it was, yeah. You know, pretty soon.
Cool.
It was around that time. Yeah. Wasn't exactly the same because that was just 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, but yeah. But
still.
That's, well, yeah.
It takes a while for the body to recognize it.
Yeah.
It's getting.
Yeah. No, that's real.
Yeah.
Energized.
Okay.
All right. So we have a whole bunch of questions.
Okay.
We'll get through as many as we feel we have the bandwidth for. I'm not even going to consult you about the order. I'm just going to grab some and throw. Some of them are simple. I don't know if it's simple. Well, what causes the ego to hold so tightly to its illusions? We feel like we've talked about that a lot.
Mm-hmm. But what else does he say?
What is something we can do to bring easement to that release?
Okay. Spiritual practice is the answer to the second part. Here, I'll respond to that. I mean, you can listen to every podcast we've ever done, or I can just respond. Okay, the ego is appropriate. It's supposed to hold on to stuff. It wants what it wants. We need a little bit of ego to survive this world. If you have definition in the ego, it's very different than if you don't have definition in the ego in human design. So that's a dependent question. I think in your case, you don't. So then the question to throw back to you is, if you don't have definition in your ego, what are you trying to prove about your worth and value and to whom. So anything the ego is holding on to, if it's actually ego holding on that you're actually talking about, because you didn't give me an example, I can't really explore this with you. But if it's actually ego stuff holding on, then what you're trying to do is prove you have worth and value to an invisible watching eye, which is either your parental introject that you have inside yourself, or someone in your life, or some people in your life who you're trying to prove you have worth and value to. So you hold on to that so tightly because you don't feel like you have worth and value. And you think if you let go of it, you'll have even less. Another way to say that is, if the ego dies, we were just talking about this in Star Beings class today, as pieces of your ego start to flake away and process and die or go somewhere else, you have to confront the unknown in a really profound way. Who am I without my pain? Who am I without my beliefs? Who am I without these crutches I believe are my identity? That's a very confronting fear for most people. Most people aren't willing to step really into the unknown. In my case, for example, I have a healing every couple weeks that turns me into someone I don't recognize anymore. And that's terrifying every time. Am I going to be able to survive? Am I going to be able to make money? Will I still have motivation? Do I still love the things I love? Will people like me this way? Will I be able to have relationships this way? I happen to have confronted it so many times in so many different ways that I can speak from experience and say, you'll be fine. Just take a breath one day at a time. Just do the next indicated action in your life. And slowly over time, the process integrates and you get more comfortable having less and less ego attachment to things. So why does it hold on? It doesn't want to die. It wants to be in control. It wants to prove to the world you have worth and value. That's why. So would you prefer to do that and be exhausted by the energy and the efforts of proving? Or would you prefer to be free and have no proof of your worth and have to discover your worth in the real way? Which is by fearlessly being who you actually are and letting the people who don't approve of you fall away and the ones who love you stick around. The end. What else you got?
Here we go. This one is from, she says, about 25 years ago, I started having this thing happen where I just fall asleep. I'd hear this very loud bang in my head and be startled awake. At first, I thought it was something outside, so I'd get up and look around, but couldn't ever find the source. It used to freak me out. Then I read somewhere that I could have been traveling. Was I? Where did I go? Was there a purpose, or was I just in Maui? I don't know.
Can you read the first part again about the falling asleep?
Yep. About 25 years ago, I started having this thing happen when I just fall asleep, I'd hear this very loud bang in my head.
So meaning she's laying in bed about to go to sleep?
I have that wrong. Yes. Not that she would just fall asleep.
Oh, I'm asking.
No, I think it's what you just said. I'd have this thing happen. When I just fall asleep, I'd hear this very loud bang in my head and
when
be startled
I'd
awake.
Just fall asleep? I'd?
I'd. Both.
Okay. When I just fall asleep, I'd hear this really loud bang. Okay. Give me a second. I don't think she's traveling. Is she traveling? In that time, is she doing astral travel, projection, something like that, going to another dimension? Past life. I think it's past life. Okay. Okay. I'm asking a bunch of questions. Like, is this a trauma she's remembering when she loses control or consciousness from this life? No. Is this a past life something she's remembering when she loses consciousness and loses control? Yeah, because when we go to sleep, right, we lose, it's like we're not gripping the fabric of reality in the same way as when we're unconscious. So the unconscious, whatever the unconscious is holding, including memories from past lives, comes to the fore. So this is a past life thing. Does it say that she still has it happening?
No.
What does it say?
She doesn't really say. It used to freak me out. Then I read somewhere that I could have been traveling. Was I?
No.
So it's a past.
No. Question. This was something from a past life. Because this can also happen from trauma with this life, right? Like you can have a traumatic event happen in this lifetime. And then when you go to sleep, it all comes up. This is a trauma from a past life. A gunshot in a past life. And I'm asking, do we need to clear it for her? No. Can we clear it for her? No. Did it already clear? Yes.
So I'm sorry. I was just curious. So she was shot in a past life?
She was shot? No. She shot someone else. She shot a few people. She did the shooting.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. This is from our friend Yvonne Marie Bethy.
Yvonne.
We love. It's a very simple question. What is there for me to do, if anything, to move forward in my work with the Mintakans?
Huh. They go, no. No. No.
All right. Well, that's easy.
But let me just listen a little more. Nothing? Okay. I wonder if she means like with people. Like, how is she to use her work with them and talking to people? No. Does she mean her connection with them? Okay. Is there anything for her to do differently about her relationship with the Mintakans? No. Is there anything to do differently with the business in the Mintakans? No. Okay, hold on. Can I hear from the Mintakans about this? This is a race of light beings, by the way, if you don't know that. Yvonne has a, like, intimate relationship with the Mintakans. So each time they show up, which is, you know, all the time, there's an energetic transmission with it. So you're being worked each time you interact with them. So just keep interacting with them, and they keep, like, nodding their heads and going, all in due time. All in due time, like very wise old, all in due time. Like, in other words, when it's time to do something else, you'll want to do something else. Right now, you don't want to do something else because it's not time, because you're getting the activations you need just by interacting with them. I'm like, does she need to meditate with that? Does she need to frequent? Does she need to go to the vortexes? Healing? Nothing. Healing? Activation? Nothing. Nothing.
Interesting. You got two in a row that were just like, nah, you're this.
What was the one before that?
Just now. Just the previous one, which was.
Oh, that was a past life.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do I need to heal it? Do I need to address it? Do I need to do it?
No.
No.
That's, I think, fine. She healed it already.
That's great.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to this one. This is a multi one, and we can do any or all of them. Here is a preguntas. I'd love answers to any. First, what happened to my grandma, grand-grand, father's mom, or someone on that side of the family in 1913? So something happened in 1913, probably to her grandma, that is of note, but she doesn't know what. Do you get anything?
That's all I have?
That is all you get. Is that enough?
Okay, hold on. Okay, I need to hear more. Just keep reading.
Okay, here's the other questions are totally uh-huh. different. Should I try to connect and repair with beep these names?
No.
If so, how?
No.
Or am I ignoring something I did wrong in those relationships that I can learn from and grow?
No. No. Okay, keep reading. We'll come back.
Is there any more information about the deep sorrow / genocide shit I felt in the crook of my left shoulder / neck today above my collarbone? Like, what the fuck it was?
We had a healing session.
Or was it just a lot of things? So is there any more information about that healing from that healing session?
No. Okay. I love you so much. And there's nothing to know ever. Yeah. Like, for you, it would be just so good if there were a way that you could practice not knowing. It's not about knowing in this case. Knowing will do nothing for you. Okay, that being said, is there more intel for you on that? No. It's no. It processed, it cleared, you're free of it. What it was you, everything we already said it was. You were carrying lineage trauma, like we all do, from your family and all the oppression and all the genocide, and now you're not. Okay, now let's keep going, because we're going to come back to the first questions. I sort of need to hear all this.
That was all of her questions.
Okay, I think they use they, them pronouns. don't they?
Yes.
Maybe? Or they use like a combo?
Yeah, I feel like they use combos. Okay. So let's so go you with can, they for today.
Well, you can do, then you're right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, but it does.
Okay, so now back to the beginning. Grandma, is the grandma's name there?
No, unfortunately.
All right.
It's more that I think they want to know what happened on that side of their dad's family, on the dad's side of the family in 1913. She thinks it was, they think that it was for their grandma.
You know, I don't know. I get absolutely nothing on this.
Okay.
Okay, I am connected. I'm just checking this isn't me. No. Okay. And the second question?
Should I try and connect and repair with these two friends?
Right. So that's super no. That's a no. Let's talk about why. First of all, the timing isn't right. Secondly, if you were to look at your motivation, why do you want to do it? For real, though, why do you want to do it? Do you want to feel better about yourself? In which case, are you clear on your part in it? If you're not clear and ready to own 100% without caveats or defense or justification your part in the dynamic, then it's not time to reconcile. You have to be really ready to own your stuff. Now, do you have stuff in this dynamic? Yes. Do they have stuff in this dynamic? Yes. Are they going to be receptive to you coming at them now? No. Are they going to be open and ready for this conversation to own their stuff? No. So the timing isn't quite right. They're not ready and you're not ready. Something that would be useful would be to get real clear with yourself about what was your role in this dynamic? I need to hear the situation to help you have feedback on, to give you feedback on what your role was. But what you want to look at is, there's a couple things here. One has to do with codependent people pleasing. One has to do with needing to be right. One has to do with proving you have worth and value. Yeah. So where would it prove that you have worth and value if they weren't mad at you anymore? That's not a good reason to approach a conversation. Also, like, they did some shady nonsense, it looks like. It's not your fault. They did some shady nonsense. What was it? I want to know. Can I see from here? No. Don't downplay the shady nonsensory of what they did, okay? Just because you want to feel better and make sure they're not mad at you or own your part, which I hear that you want to do, and that's great. For now, the thing to do is get clear on what was your part. And if you want to talk to me about the details of this, go ahead and do that, and I'll help you look at what your part was. But it's just now is not the time because they're not open. They're not receptive right now. Okay, that feels clear. Did I miss anything?
Nope, there were just three things for them.
Great.
And the only one we're not getting is any information about the grandma.
Yeah, there's like nothing there. Cool. So let's frame it like this. Did nothing happen in 1913 in the family? Yes. Okay. Did something happen in some other year? No. So I want a tiny bit of context. Like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
I need more context. So next time,
I don't have any.
Give us more. What All else?
Right. Let's see. I think this, let's just do this one more. And it's relevant to what we were already talking about. So a general question I've been thinking about lately is why do we come into our incarnations with past life traumas? Why is the trauma not healed in that time space between? Till I started on the spiritual growth and healing journey, I never even knew I had past life traumas that required clearing and healing. So many people live their entire lives with unprocessed past life traumas and accumulate more on top of that. Mm-hmm. Why can't we start each life with a clean slate?
Because, okay, look. The point of reincarnating is to work through the karma of the past. If you got a clean slate, there would be no reason to incarnate. To work through the karma. That's the whole point. So you're right that a ton of people have no no idea they have any of it and they don't do any work on it and whatever. That's why they stay on the karmic wheel forever. Some of us are trying to like literally be done with the karmic wheel, clear all the karma and not have to fucking incarnate again. How about that idea? So you're here to work that shit out. That's the whole point. So the fact that you just woke up to it is, you know, welcome to the club. And why don't we get a clean slate? Because then you wouldn't have learned anything as an ego mind. The soul is already pure, clean, clear. There's no growing for the soul. But the body, the mind, the ego need to grow and develop and learn and surrender and open and awaken. So you have to work through your karma. That's part of how you grow and open and awaken and deepen. Now, what you could do that would be useful is process your frustration that you're having right now with suddenly learning how much there is to work through. That's a very normal response to have, to like realizing how much karma there is. You can be like, when the fuck am I going to do all this work? Right? Cool. So that's something you could take to a healing session or to your spiritual practice to process.
So can you only work through 3D ego shit with a 3D ego body?
Yes.
Like when you're in between existences, your soul can't even grasp that bullshit that your 3D body.
It's more like, that's a good question. It's more like in the in-between spaces, that's not what the in-between time is for. The in-between time is like conscious, light, love, what's next? We're giving you your next assignment, next incarnation. You have a conversation with the record keepers. You go like, oh, this body would teach me this and I could learn that and here we go. Because you're functioning from a soul level in the Akasha. And from a soul level, you're in total agreement with doing your lessons and your work. You're like, yeah, yeah, let's do that work now. Here we go. Phew. Done. You know? But on the ego level, we don't want to have to do it. Poor me. I don't want to have to. And it's like, well, it's legit what you came here for. So get into it, man. Or resist and then do your work around resisting. It's okay.
Maybe next time you'll be born in a more appropriate time and place and be easier to work through it.
More appropriate?
Well, just based on like the, I can't even think of the fucking word right now. The charts. You know, your chart is based on the exact time and place you were born. Mm. And maybe this time you just happen to be born in a shitty place at a bad time and your brain can't fucking deal with all that stuff.
Your design this time around does not line up with this particular set of lessons. Yeah. So do a different set of lessons.
I mean, that's called being like a little further back on the path, but sure. Fucking A.
Do you get to, when you're talking with the Akasha, you're like, I want to be born at 316 in Minneapolis.
It's more like you talk to the record keepers and together you go, okay, this time let's take that lifetime because it'll teach me these things. And then as a result, that's going to mean we need to get you there by 318. And
which means everybody who's having sex on January 3rd is an option for you.
Spiritual spreadsheet that they're like, okay, what do we have? I got a 318 in Minneapolis, which will be good for karmic guilt based on active participation in genocide. Okay, I'll take that one.
Perfect.
I do have one more, actually.
Yeah, the one good. I just got.
Yeah.
We have to do that one.
Great.
Because I wrote her and said we would.
Great. Katie, yes! 3 exclamation points.
Oh, God.
OMG.
Yep.
I'm going to read this with no expression. I can't do it. It's the opposite. I have to read it with all the expression. OMG, I am listening to your podcast where you are in the room with the guys. Yay. Titled Genital Identification. Posted 4/8. And I am tripping over myself to reach out in response here. The whole conversation about your Texas experience. I'm in Texas. I'm from Texas. I keep asking myself why I can't leave Texas, seeing and knowing all the shit you mentioned and experiencing and witnessed and how fucking heavy it is. But I'm still here and it's hard and it's fucking infuriating is all I get. And it's fucking infuriating is all get out. Yet, I'm kind of curious if I'm not here to help from the inside. I know I'm not the only light worker here. I'm not the only alt sexuality liberal here. Hell, I was born into the epitome of what you experienced here, and most of my extended family are closed-minded Bible-thumping Republicans. Can we get into the records about what the value of still being here is about. And yeah, how can I help support change? As much as part of me has been trying to leave the area for the Pacific Northwest for years, it has not lined up or been a yes for timing yet. Don't sense leaving Texas yet is actually going to help support the most change for us all. Gah! Fuck okay. If I know.
All right, give me one moment. All right, so is it in her highest good to leave Texas yet? No. Is she there because she's contributing to it? No. Is she there because it's contributing to her? Yes. How so? How is it contributing to her? Okay. Okay. That's so interesting. I do think eventually you'll head to the Pacific Northwest when it's time, but they're like, the energy, it's almost like the density of the area you're in keeps you more grounded than you would be if you left sooner. In other words, there's value in the groundedness. There's value in being like pulled down into the density, because for you, otherwise you might just spin up and out and never face anything. This place that you're in is forcing you to deal with your 3D reality problems, or I should say challenges, which is really what a lot of this lifetime for you is about. Are you going to learn about 3D reality life challenges? Are you going to master them this time? Remember, you're not going to want to all the time, but you need to do anyway. So think of it this way. Focus on mastering your physical, money, house, body, health, home, insurance. Think about, just focus on all that nonsense that none of us who are woo-woo like. Heal your resistance to that. Clear your first, second, and third chakra trauma around it. Some heart stuff still. While you focus on building a good life, a life that really abundantly works there in the density and the hardship of Texas. When you master that, they're going to open all the doors for you to get out. It's sort of like some people don't meet their romantic life partner until they're really empowered in their own life. You can't really be with someone who's correct for you if you're not really correctly being you. Similarly, it's not time to go to a pretty lovely place for you yet, because they need to know you can do the life shit. The weight of where you are is pulling you into the life shit. If you went to the Pacific Northwest now, you'd find a bunch of spacey people and you'd all be spacey and fun together and you'd have all the fun and all the space. And you wouldn't like fucking do your work. Remember, everything's happening for us, not to us. And that doesn't make it easier, by the way. I don't mean that as like a platitude where it's like, just let it go because it's happening for you. Get over it. That's not what I mean. What I mean about that is like, you have to wrestle with the question, how is this happening for me instead of to me? What is the gift in this? What am I being shown? What is the teaching? And I get that that's why you wrote the question. You're like, that's why I sent you the email. I get it. And so that's the response I hear is you need the boulder of Texas to weigh you down enough to focus on your life, your physical life. Remember too, if you focus on your physical life, that's the fastest way to do all your high woo-woo work, because you came into form this time. You took a form. You came to a physical body. So now you have to deal with that physical body and its needs. That's how you are going to activate most quickly. And once you have, zip, you fly right out of there. The end.
So being there is for them, not for
right
the greater collective,
mm-hmm.
except in the way that all of our work is for the greater
exactly
collective, but not specifically and directly,
not yet for them in this way. Her
great.
Anyone else?
It's a lot.
Uh-huh.
How you doing?
Well, I'm a little like,
yeah, you're pretty blown out. We should.
And I have clients later also. I'm like,
we should put a pin in this. Yeah. We did a lot of work for a lot of people.
Phew. Mama's going to go take a little nap. Do your work. I love you. Bye.
Do your load. Be learned.
You asking for all of the answers. Say what? got all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Enjoy this story, Cassidy, because it's not going to make the cut. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Oh, no.